Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And the same to you. Hello, welcome to the podcast. I'm still here in France, and it's still technically virtually impossible to make a podcast, I'm discovering. Quite a lasso. Anyway, God, the football. I don't know, I haven't seen it. I'm recording this on Sunday. And the same to you. It's Sunday evening, and I kind of felt like, you know what, I want to record it now. I don't want to, you know, if you don't want to know the score, look away now. I think I'm just going to look away for all time. Forgive the sound. I am in the throes of, and the same to you, the throes of quite the most aggressive attack of hay fever I've had in a very long time. The outdoors is definitely trying to claim me right now, and as well as the house. I've spent 2 days mowing, just to a degree of success. When I got here, I don't know, it's only like 8 weeks or something since I was last here, when I spent 2 days mowing. And here I am, I spent 2 days mowing, because it just grew back. It was 4 feet high, the grass. 5 feet high in some places. And I know you're going, yeah, that's what happens with grass, Jake. But I didn't know that, because where I grew up was like on top of... it was a hill made of clay that they used to hollow out to make bricks. I didn't know grass grew that fast, okay? And I rented... The lawnmower from the same guy I rented it from last time, who's a bit of a tool, but I know what he wants now. Another way in which nature is trying to claim me is I think I've now uprooted the last of the celandine. You ever heard of celandine? I pulled up a bit and I was like, wow, that's weird. I wonder what that is. So I used my little app that identified celandine. Basically, you know, in nature, if something's got 80s colours, like an 80s vibe, just don't go anywhere near it, kids. This stuff, I don't know, it's like a sort of, it's got pale green leaves, sort of a bit like parsley or coriander, little yellow flowers. This is pretty enough. When you pull it up, when you break the stalk, it bleeds like fluorescent orange, like neon orange blood. And I've discovered it's quite the skin irritant, as well as being capable of poisoning animals. It hasn't claimed me so far. So far, I think I've won. And it's all rotting away on the compost heap now. But there was a lot of it. Was it here last time? I don't know. I mean, I didn't notice it. How fast will it grow? I don't know. The mint is 6 feet tall. Anyway, I've got Mick Wright for you. Only just trying to record. This is another reason why I'm not streaming this live this morning. And why I'm pre-recording it. Because I can't. I just can't leave it to chance. It's so precarious. I pre-recorded him and I ended up having to use a backup recording because the recordings didn't work, which is what I had to do with Davey as well. I need to find some new means of recording and I don't know what they are, but I'll figure it out. Anyway, here he is.
I've just discovered that Nigella Lawson has a crisp cauldron that she fills up, a cauldron of crisps. Look at that.
You have to respect that. You have to respect that.
The crisp cauldron.
I loved it when she said, yeah, I've got a spiralizer. I use it to make curly fries. I was like, that's what they're for. It's not for courgettini.
I quite like courgettini, to be honest, but there you go. I've been infiltrated by the middle classes.
Well, haven't we all? So, I mean, that's effectively what happened to my mum. So, 48 years ago, I've done your jingle, all right?
Yes.
All of this might be a mess, but I have done your jingle. Let's see if it works.
Okay.
When I press this button.
Every day the papers pump out endless streams of hate. The fifth column's propaganda they will propagate. But who can penetrate the ramparts of the fourth estate? Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy. Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy.
Okay.
You want a klezmer?
That is good. That is good. I cannot deny that is good.
I'm so glad you didn't pick Nirvana. That would have taken hours of research and crying.
Why didn't I do it? Have you seen this thing on TikTok now, which is basically, like, there's tons of people who do it, where they have, like, such and such a song by one band done in the style of another band.
Okay.
So, like, I don't know, Umbop by Hanson in the style of Nirvana. A big thing. It's quite good. Lots of people do it, but I think, God, they must spend ages on it. And also, they must all be rich, because they all have a guitar, a bass, a drum machine. Yeah. And I'm like, you've all of the things. Like, I have all a bass, the things, but not all of
them. Do you? I'm going to remember that. You should check out a friend of the pod, Harry the Piano, who does that, but instantly, on the piano. So
that's cool.
He'll do the Wombles and the style of Rachmaninoff, and it'll be epically good.
Have you ever seen the Elton John audience with Elton John? Like, I remember it from when I was a kid, where people just shout out lyrics and he just starts playing songs to them. It was very good. It's very good.
No, I didn't see that.
I'm sure it's on the YouTubes.
I'm sure. Do you know there's everything on there?
Yes.
It's got everything. It's brilliant. Now there are two things that we were going to talk about. One is the football, obviously.
Yes. Which we don't know the result of because we're pre-recording this.
I know, but oh, what a night, eh?
It was amazing, dreadful, all at once.
Yeah, I kind of...
I liked that bit when the man did the thing.
No, I didn't like that. I don't like that. I've had very mixed feelings about it. While it's been sort of nice to watch a team who seem to be, you know, quite thoughtful and respectful and, you know, principled and stuff. And that's jolly exciting. In terms of the team, I want them to do well. In terms of us as a nation, I feel like, boy, if ever we were seeking to cement our reputation as buckets of excrement within our European community, post-Brexit, if we now win the football, that, like, that is going to cement us as absolute dastards, particularly in the light of attempting to blind the Norwegian goalkeeper.
Yes, yeah, that's the thing. And
the Denmark goalkeeper, wasn't it?
Yeah,
sorry,
no, Denmark goalkeeper. But that's the thing. This afternoon, as we record this, before the match, I have just seen a picture of an England fan outside Leicester Square Station with a lit flare spew.
See, I don't need a flare for that.
Video footage of a man outside.
Yeah, well, it's a skill. I've seen another man outside the Wembley branch of PC World windmilling his genitals while waving an England flag fully nude. And you think, these metaphors for... are really too heavy-handed. And at this point, satire is completely lost.
Yeah, it's far too on the nose. I agree, and I think that, you know, all those people who sort of objected to taking a knee, saying, oh, football shouldn't be political, what could be more jingoistically political than these acts, and, you know, booing other people's national anthems.
I mean, it's interesting. Thing.
Someone put up footage from the 1966 final on Twitter the other day, and 21 years after the end of the Second World War, the German national anthem was obviously not booed. You know, it was sort of right. That would have not been done. We're a much more jingoistic racist country back in the 60s, no question. But we still could prevent ourselves, and the fans of England, you know, in the stadium, could prevent themselves from booing the national anthem. I mean, it's always worth saying, though, that the fans who are being caught in this footage I've just talked about this afternoon, or the fans who boo the anthem, it isn't the majority of people. It's not the majority. It's just an unpleasant minority, which draws the most attention. And talking about unpleasant minorities, let's talk about Daily Telegraph columnists.
Well, quite, because it's been sort of...
If that's what they call a segue in radio.
It is exquisitely done. No one saw the joint.
No one noticed that. It was just papered over the cracks.
It's been fun watching those columnists themselves trying to pick their own route through to the final in terms of what line to take vis-a-vis the England team.
A particularly good one, yesterday as we record, but over the weekend, by the time people hear this, was Camilla Tominey in the Telegraph talking about, basically writing a whole column about how the England team's success... that the left's hatred of Britain is wrong. And this is the Telegraph that, when you go through their recent archives, has, you know, 15, 16, 17 articles about how taking the knee is very bad and how the England team have been infiltrated by, you know, Marxist propaganda and all this kind of stuff. But now, handbrake turns so severe that the lever has come off in a... This simply proves that we're a post-racial... And, you know... it's the left that are wrong, you know.
It's so fantastic.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, and you've got, and the other thing, I think we talked about this before, but you've got The Sun, who published a string of explicitly racist Sterling, calling him shameful and think he's ever done to imply that he was a wrong'un, now going, oh, Raheem, the great
Raheem, our
great hero, top lad. And the thing is, if it is the case, tomorrow, whatever day you are listening to this, England haven't won the European Championships, these papers will quickly turn around and find reasons to attack these players again so quickly, without a moment's thought.
Yes, and it's a fun thing. I've sort of seen this happen sometimes with veganism. You know, people are like, they have a huge antipathy towards veganism and stuff. And then suddenly they sort of have to find their way to come on side with that. And it's sort of just, it's all about, fundamentally, it's about the human ego. And you have to give them a sort of path to, as you say, perform a complete U-turn, but make it look, at least to them, if to no one else, like they got there themselves. They you know, I've always said we should take the knee. I think it's very good. I think it's very good, actually.
It can never just be a football match. It must always be a metaphor for something else. Whether it is the kind of, to centre left people at the Guardian talking about, well, maybe this is a new a sense of a new Britain or whatever. It's mad optimism that the run of what the government is doing or the tell still you know, implementing a massively hot immigration policy or missing. Well, this proves that the left saying that we are a racist country is completely wrong. These many players here with immigrant backgrounds, doesn't that prove we're not racist? It particularly as after the last England game, a Danish family was attacked, and there are already people worried that there are going to be attacks on Italian businesses after this game, whether we win or lose. So this notion of like turning, there's two things. I think it's terrible to do. Our attitude of saying football shouldn't be political, as if it's possible to remove politics from anything. You know, of course, sport is political.
Yeah.
But also on the other side, sort of to push everything through and says, well, if we win, then it's great. And the Brexit's full and let's, you know, 20-point bump in the polls for Boris Johnson. It's like kind of ludicrous. It's a football. All it represents is ultimately a football in time. Them winning or losing doesn't fundamentally change where we are, but to a columnist, this overarching narrative and narrative has to be there regardless of whether it exists.
But actually, I feel like for a lot of people watching, that you know, has a football match taken on more importance and significance when everything else in the lives of so many people has been so eroded? You know, where do you get your self-esteem from?
It's a thing of joy. It's a thing to be enjoyed, and it would be a joyful moment if they do win. But then, you know, immediately it gets harnessed in these ways. Like I'm going to watch. I will watch the game. We'll have watched the game, and will enjoy. Have enjoyed the game. Amazing pre-record.
I think you mean have off. Yeah, go on.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible on Doctor Who. I'd be an awful companion. You'd just be there. Anyway, but the point is, yeah.
I'd love to see you as a companion on Doctor Who. Yeah.
Do you not think I'd be?
I think you'd be fantastic. Deconstructing the press of the planet Tharg, or, you know, just looking at the Daleks and their rhetoric versus their policy.
I will enjoy it, but it comes back to what you said at the start of this conversation, which is, I will both be happy about a win, but also feel quite ambivalent about the way that win may be used by certain people, and the way that it is used as an excuse for a lot of other things.
Yeah, that's a great summary. Speaking of just one or two bad apples, as we were. That's my attempt at a segue. It wasn't as good as yours. And that's terrible because I've been working in this industry for 28 years. But speaking of the news of the world thing, the 10 years, mate, since it folded up. Doesn't time fly in that?
It's been 10 years since the Daily, I nearly said the Daily Mail. That's just wishful thinking. It's been 10 years since the news of the world was with unseemly haste by Rupert Murdoch in an attempt to contain the toxicity in a Chernobyl-style concreting over of the melting down tabloid.
What astonished me about reading your newsletter about it was actually just, you know, remembering just how many rotten apples there were and actually seeing how many of them are still doing quite well and many of them still under the employ of News UK.
You know, including the fact that, you know, former News of the World editor Rebecca Brooks, who led the naming and then went on to edit The Sun, is now having found her way through legal travails. Executive of News UK. As I've said many times in the newsletter, the tabloid press remains a protection racket. And all that happened with the closure of the News of the World is that one outlet of that protection racket was gone, but many of the people who worked within it are still in the industry. And there was a pretty good documentary on yesterday on Radio 4, on Saturday night on Radio 4, presented by Jim Watterson, the editor, media editor of The Guardian, looking back through what the closure meant and what happened and stuff. But then it came to the end with the credits of that documentary, and one of the associate producers was Tom Latcham, who's a former News of the World guy, who I know and like, and only worked on the TV desk there. But the point was, having someone in News of the World was necessary, clearly, for them to get access to all these former News of the World people. But it ended up being a documentary I felt was very sort of gentle and raw about the News of the World, rather than going, this was a separating wound in the very heart of British public discourse. It was a little bit like, oh, well, they were naughty boys, and it was quite bad, wasn't it? But hey, online news was going to come and destroy this tabloid eventually anyway, and isn't it a bit better now? And, you know, it didn't feel... For me, what it should have been is a long, loud and sustained howl of horror. You even had Nick Davies, who was the reporter who broke a lot of the phone hacking thing, saying, well, I didn't really want the News of the World to close, you know. And I just thought, it's considered acceptable and morally acceptable in journalism, even amongst the so-called good guys, is pretty terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it was a bit of a laugh at the end of the day, mate. Do you know what you need to do? You need to lighten up, mate.
It was the moment in it, though. There had to be a line in there where he said, but, you know, they just moved from a section where they were talking about a woman whose life had been ruined by a fake sting orchestrated by the fake sheikh. Then it went, but they also use these techniques to get criminals. And so, yeah, but
oh, well, fine then.
But they acted as a tabloid as if they were the police, and actually
they got to decide. The judicial system as well.
Given their very corrupt relationship to the police, it was like a privatized outcrop of the police.
Yeah, they got to decide who went down. And for what?
I've made this a very chucklesome segment, haven't I?
It's good, mate. It's honestly, we might have a quick look at the gags per minute on this one, but no, it's good and it's important to be angry. Like just because 10 years has elapsed, it doesn't mean that it wasn't an outrage and doesn't kind of continue to be so. So I admire, thank you for your anger.
One of the big reasons it remains an outrage, really, is Leveson 2 didn't happen. And Leveson 2 was meant to look into the relationship between public officials, particularly the police and the media. And that just didn't happen. It was shut down. Matt Hancock, who was the culture secretary at the time, went, oh, we're not going to do that now. That's not happening. And as the Daniel Morgan Independent Panel report showed, there were very clear connections between tabloid press, particularly the News of the World, done, and corrupt police officers. But that report, that panel, didn't have the power to compel evidence, didn't have the power to compel witnesses. So their conclusions could only be limited. And they sort of said, this was bad, but we can't, because we're not actually able to dig as deep as we'd like. And given that they're reliant on News UK and Rupert Murdoch to hand over evidence...
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that all the evidence that was there has made its way out of News International.
Very cynical, mate.
That News International deleted thousands of emails, you know, just in the natural run of business.
People are nice. Mick, people are nice. All right? You always think the worst of everybody. Incidentally, did you know that I believe it's still available? And I haven't yet checked, but my God, I'm about to. Did you know that Matt Hancock has his own app?
It is. It's still available. Matt Hancock app. The Matt Hancock app. Yes. Have you? Social network.
Have you? Have you checked it out? Is it good?
I have not checked it out recently. I checked it out when
I bet there's loads of content just lately. Yeah.
It's replete with content, the Matt Hancock app. I must say that this is not sponsored content. We are not sponsored by the Matt Hancock app. Available on all good apps and some bad.
But if people want to follow you on the Matt Hancock app, where should they go? On the Matt Hancock app.
Twitter at Broken Bottle Boy. And where you will also find a link to my newsletter, which you can sign up to for free or for paid if you want to keep me in this amazing manner I've become accustomed to.
Yeah, God, it looks pretty glamorous. Mick, thank you so much. We would love to talk to you next week if you're up for it. If only just to get more mileage out of that jingle, which, you know,
I love the jingle. I do love the jingle.
I may give it a bit of a remix when I get back. Anyway, thank you.
In a 90s grunge style.
No, in klezmer. That's all you get. No,
klezmer
absolutely
all
not.
The way down.
Yeah, that's it.
Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy. Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy.
And the same to you. Well, I hope you enjoyed Mick. He was great, wasn't he? And that's it for the podcast for today. I'm going to figure out what the hell we're going to do on Wednesday, whether we can do Britain Awake. Listen, let's just sort this out once and for all. Take care of yourself. I hope all is well with you. And, you know, I really hope that England absolutely steamrolled everyone and that my house by now has already been firebombed. Right. Take care of yourself. And I'll see you on Wednesday and we'll figure all of this out. It'll be fine.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.